I do. Welcome to Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are so glad that you have joined us for worship on this Mother's Day, both in person and online. Please stand as you are able for our opening hymns.
Thank you. We want to invite all the children to come up to the steps of the altar before we head out to Children's Church. We have our Children's Church and our youth group today. We'll be in the chapel and in the grace room and possibly the gym for the youth group. All right. Good morning. Good morning. Who has done something nice for someone today already? Has anyone? Okay, good, good. Hopefully by the time we're done today, Miss April, all hands will be up.
Yeah, we should have all hands up.
That should be good. So what's behind us on the altar? Look behind you and look at the altar. What do you see? Who wants to tell me what's up there?
Pictures.
Pictures, good. Thanks for leaving room for other people to also answer. Okay, good. So we have pictures. And then what else is up there?
People.
People, we're going to get more and more specific. Yes, what else is up there?
Mothers and fathers.
Yes. Ian, do you want to sit down with us? You could pick a seat. Yes, there are pictures of people, and a lot of those people are mothers and some are fathers. So today is Mother's Day, as you know, and we set aside this day to celebrate moms. Why do we set aside a day, do you think, to celebrate moms? Evelyn, do you want to, there's a mic right there.
Presents.
Say that again.
Give your mama presents.
Give your mama presents. That's right. That's why we set this. What other reasons do we have to set aside a day? Yeah, Maddie.
Because your parents do so much for you and you want to appreciate them.
Right. Every single day our parents do something for us, lots of things for us. And this is a day where we get to celebrate our parents, and today particularly our mothers and our grandmothers and our aunts and anyone who has been a motherly figure.
And there are so many different ways that we have motherly influences in our lives, whether it's an aunt, a grandmother, a godparent, a neighbor, a friend, a teacher. We have so many wonderful influences and female influences in our life, and that's what we're going to celebrate today in Children's Church and here today, and of course not today, but every day, right?
Well, before we head off to Children's Church, let's take a moment. Let's thank God for all of the women and the moms in our lives who have cared for us and continue to care for us and show us love, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly God, we love you and we thank you for our family, our church family, and this place to come and take a moment out of the the busyness of life to come and sit with you and sit with one another. Today, we think of our moms, we think of our grandmothers, all of the women who have been influential in our lives, and we celebrate them, and we thank you for them. There's a special love between a mom and a child, and so today, we will see that as a reflection of you and your love for us in our love that we have for our moms and the love that they have for us. I pray that each one of us can find a way to celebrate our moms, the memory of our moms, and all of the women who have been important to us. Help us to take that time and do that today. And I pray that we would give these children an opportunity to do that for the women in their lives. We thank you so much. And in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. We're excited that we get to have our children's choir. So if you are in the angel choir, we invite you to stay up here as we are led by Miss Cheryl.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day. I just want to make a couple of quick announcements. So the Angel Choir is going to be singing a song today, but it's not just for the mothers. It's obviously for everyone who has been a mother to us. But since we don't sing for Father's Day, we always sing to the father figures in our lives on Mother's Day as well. So this is a song to the parents and the grown-ups. And the other thing is, it's also the final time for two of our members because they're going to be moving up to middle school. So they're going to be singing solos for you today.
Must have been cold there in my shadow to never have sunlight on your face. You are content to let me shine. You always walk
you were the one with all the strength. A beautiful face without a name. I never once heard you complain.
Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I like to be. I can fly higher than an eagle. 'Cause you are the wind beneath my wings. It might have appeared to go unnoticed, but I got it all.
Let's all just get out the Kleenex right now. Thank you, guys. You guys were awesome. I also want to thank Miss Cheryl Johnson-Hartwell. Thank you for directing. And Thompson Howell on the piano, who is subbing today for John West. As our kids go off to Sunday school, will you stand and greet one another with the peace of Christ? May the peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's throw some peace up to the balcony and our friends at home. Peace be with you. Happy Mother's Day. I invite you now to take a moment and take a deep breath and center yourself as we prepare to enter into that holy time of conversation and prayer with God, led there by our beautiful chancel choir.
Listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Holy Creator, Mother God, Feminine Divine, Spirit who brings forth life inside each one of us and on this planet, we thank you for our life. We thank you for this community of faith, and we thank you for the time that we get to spend here together with those we love. This morning, we offer our prayers to you in remembrance of both the living and the past mothers in our lives, the omas, the grandmas, the abuelas, the ates, the tias, the drag moms, the house moms, the people who have accompanied us on our journey, who have given us life both in birth and life after. We are grateful for the lessons that they have taught us, and we pray that they will live inside of us, the best of those things, to share with the world. We pray for all those who are mothering now, especially young and growing children, as they live in this difficult time and world. We pray that they will have the strength and the courage to teach them peace and joy, that they will have the support they need to raise them into the people they want to raise them into. May we be a place, a church, a faith community where we are helping hands in that process. We also remember those who mother older children, adult children. It is not easy or necessarily a smooth path once we enter into adulthood, and we still need your guidance and your presence. This morning we lift up to you all those who have broken relationships with their mother parent. We pray that where it is appropriate, there be reparation, and where there cannot be, that there be peace and ease of pain. We pray for solace for those who grieve today, and we remember that not all relationships are the same. But we ask you to guide us so that we might have the best that we can have from one another. This morning, we are grateful also to the mothers of our church from its very beginning into today, including those in the sanctuary who lead and teach us and bring us closer to you. There are many prayers that remain on our hearts, and so now we take a moment to offer them to you in silence. Dear God, we know that you hear even the most silent and secret prayer, and we are grateful. We lift up to you today those families and mothers with their children who are experiencing homelessness, who have lost children to gun violence, who worry in the morning when they send those children to school. We pray for mothers in the Ukraine, in Syria, and around the world who are suffering in times of war. We pray truly for all people, for healing and peace and new life. We know that through you all things are possible, and we are intensely grateful. And so we offer this prayer to you, taught to you by your Son, Jesus Christ, raised by Mother Mary, who taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily blessing, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, Hollywood family. Happy Mother's Day. This altar looks beautiful. Thank you for sharing your pictures of your moms, your aunts, as we celebrate the female figures in our lives. It really is special. And also today, hopefully you came with some with your stomachs empty, because we have a lot of food, so please stay with us afterwards. We already got some delicious, some of us early got some preview tastings. Dan and all the volunteers did an amazing job making a full-on brunch. So yes, thank you so much to everybody who helped. I don't see Dan, so we'll tell him later when we see him in the gym. So that's directly after today's church service. This Thursday, we are having a special memorial, 10:30 a.m., for Jeffrey Walters. So if you'd like to come, we're actually starting at 10. We're going to do coffee in the parlor, but the actual service takes place at 10:30, and it's going to be in the chapel. So please, if you would, come to that. Next weekend, Saturday the 20th, from 10 a.m., to 12, we're going to be making some bagged lunches that we'll be handing out the next day. So if you can be a part of that, please let Pastor Bridie know. After church on Sunday next week, we're going to also go out into the community with these bagged lunches, blessing bags, as well as some blankets, and we're going to walk around and see our community, people that are unhoused and in need, and try to help out as much as we can. So we also need, if possible, Pastor Bridie just told me, if you have any of those pulling wagons, that would definitely help us out, so we could fill those up and walk around with them. Okay, gotta stick to the script on this one here. Make sure I say it right. So one of our very own is a Giants of Justice, and is going to be awarded on May 25th at a morning breakfast reception by Clue Justice. And if you would be interested in coming, several of us are going to go, but if you'd be interested in coming, you can go to cluejustice.org and get a ticket. I also in the gym, I have a QR code you can scan directly, and it takes you right to the link. But we're going to celebrate Pastor Bridie getting this amazing award. So, pre-congratulations. Bishop Swenson, Rev Kathy, and a bunch of us will be there. So, we'd love you in attendance if you can. So, if you can, stop by the welcome table. There's one in the narthex, but all of us are going to be in the gym. And I have one set up in the gym for you as well, so you can pick up all the information on all the events that are happening right now over the next couple months for the church. All that we do here is made possible by you, with your prayers and your presence, your service, and your gifts. So as the ushers come forward and we put up a QR code for online giving, please, if you would, give as generously as you're able so that we can continue to do ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you for being here.
A reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Word of God, words of life. Thanks be to God.
This morning we continue the second of our two Eastertide sermon series about three simple rules. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, certainly knew that it's difficult for us to look inward, for us to see how our individual actions contribute to the big picture, to either work towards building up the beloved community or tearing it down. So he developed three simple rules to help guide our everyday lives of faith. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. Last week we talked about rule number one, do no harm, disarming ourselves and making sure that none of our thoughts or words or actions cause us to harm any of God's children or God's creation. Now, on some level, you'd think that'd just be enough, right, God? That's enough. But because it takes almost all of our effort to do no harm. But we know it's not enough, or else there wouldn't be another rule two and three. So today we focus on rule number two, do good. Now, at first glance, it seems simple enough. These rules are so easy to understand, and yet they're so hard to live out. Do good. Be pleasant to my neighbors. Let my coworkers know I appreciate them. Give just enough money to my church and charities. Live a positive life. Sort my recyclables. Be pleasant to customer service representatives on the phone, even after you've been online for 30 minutes. Do good. But that's not at all what Wesley meant. Now, all those things are good and fine, and you should do them, but they're not enough. The rule do good does not mean just doing good when it's easy. It means doing good when it's hard. For example, we don't get to choose to whom we do good. We are called to do good to all persons, not just those we know, or those who are like us, or those who like us, or those we might find worthy of receiving the good that we do. Because here's the thing, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or in between. There's always an abundance of decent and sweet people and a small but very vocal number of people who are really, really difficult to love. But if we are truly to do good, we must not consider whether someone is worthy of our love or respect. We're called to do good to all, regardless. That's what you all who are going to be involved in our homeless outreach next week do, whether it's going to Foot on Foot or making the lunch bags that we're going to pass out. You all will be treating everyone as a person whose soul reflects God, even if sometimes that reflection can be somewhat cloudy. Now, that's one example of doing good, but there are more. Doing good means praying for those persons who have hurt you. Doing good means praying for those our elected officials to prioritize grace over greed. That's a term that our General Board of Church and Society is using. Doing good means doing a small act of kindness to someone who has called you names, or who has rejected you for what you do, or who you are, or whom you love. I actually think it's harder to do good than it is to do no harm. Not just because we don't get to choose to whom we do good, but by definition, to do good is to live proactively. In other words, we can't just react to circumstances that obviously need our attention. We must decide, we must choose that doing good is part of our DNA, that doing good defines us, and then seek out opportunities to do good before we are asked. Today's passage from Paul's letter to the church at Rome gives us a roadmap, a how-to guide to proactively do good in our lives, both individually and as the community of faith, so that we can strengthen our own faith even when we feel surrounded by forces that would tear us down. Paul says, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Extend hospitality to strangers. That's exactly what we're doing next week. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, the Roman church to which Paul was writing was struggling with a lot of problems. They were divided between Jewish and Gentile Christians. They were trying to figure out how to live out their faith within the church, and to complicate matters, they were also under siege from forces outside the church, from the Roman society and their customs. Here's what Paul told those early Christians and tells us today. We must stand up to the powers and the principalities which would seek to direct us in ways that harm others, that would cause us to value evil more than good, and we have to do all of that with integrity and love. See, this is tough stuff. Paul says, don't use their tactics. Instead, consistently take the high road. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Someone not long ago put it this way, when they go low, we go high. Barbara Brown Taylor, the great Episcopal priest and author, once wrote, the only way to conquer evil is to absorb it. Take it into yourself and disarm it. Neutralize its acids. Serve as a charcoal filter for its smog. Suck it up. Put a straitjacket on it and turn it over to God so that when you breathe out again, the air is pure. Now, that's not exactly what the world teaches us to do, is it? Bishop Reuben Job, who wrote the little book on Three Simple Rules, notes that it's not difficult to see how revolutionary the words and lifestyle of Jesus and the early Christians must have seemed to themselves and to the world in which they lived. Their way of living was a radical departure from the accepted practices of the powerful and the weak. To walk with Jesus meant to focus on something larger than the individual and someone larger than any human being or human institution. And that's exactly what it means today. Some years ago, one of our members wrote me about this passage, saying in part, Romans 12:21 is so important to me. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In the face of some serious evil and just really bad things happening, I began to embrace the power of 12:21. I started using bad things as a cue to do good. Whenever I was inflicted by some trauma, I would intentionally do something awesome for someone else. It takes the power of bad away. Something awful happens, okay, that's my cue. What can I do to counteract that completely? Do something purely good. Help someone, give, serve. Good does overcome evil completely, so powerfully. It saved my life. I want to share a more recent example of what it means to do good. And sometimes we can do good and not even know it. How awesome is our music department and our choir? And we're going to thank Thompson Howell, even though John West knows I'm saying this today. So thank you, Thompson. We're glad you're here today. So this choir, our entire music department, does good every week, but I don't know that they always realize what they do. Last month, John received a letter from an online congregant, which he shared with the choir, and I want to share with you now. The choir and John all asked me to share this. It's from a man named Rick in Portland, Oregon, I should say that. Dear Mr. West, during this last month as I was getting over surgery, I had an unexpected new stressor added to my plate. During a routine exam, it was thought that a scope detected a return of my cancer of several years back. While I waited to go to the hospital and undergo a procedure and then waiting for the results of the biopsy, I listened to the wonderful choir of Hollywood United Methodist Church. The exuberant singing and the joyful expressions on each face and the sheer talented voices blending together healed my very soul. I kept listening to the anthems, hymns, and spirituals that you all sang via YouTube, and I couldn't get enough of it. One song in particular hit home with me, and I kept singing it and playing it every chance I could get. The storm is passing over. I took it to be my mantra. I felt like no matter what the outcome of what the doctor would come back and share, the storm was passing over me, and everything would be okay in the end. I am thrilled to report that I got the news the biopsy came back negative, and I don't have to repeat the horrible procedures that I had expected. I don't have to tell you that I was thrilled at the news. Thank you for your talent and for leading such a wonderful ministry of music. I wish I could hug every single choir member for helping me through a difficult time. I would appreciate it if you would share my appreciation for each one. They are helping folks they don't even know. And for that and your ministry, I say thank you. Finally, on this Mother's Day, as I do often on Mother's Day, we remember and celebrate its origins, which did not come from Hallmark nor from See's Candy, but it found its origins in the radical and progressive mother from Boston who yearned for peace and used her gifts and talents to do good. In 1870, Julia Ward Howe, who wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic after meeting President Lincoln, who was an ardent supporter of suffrage, wrote a Mother's Day proclamation that called for a day in which women would be recognized for wanting peace and not war. And it began this way. Arise then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts, whether your baptism be of water or of tears. Say firmly, we will not have questions answered by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands will not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We, the women of one country, will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. Julia Ward Howe. Family, this day, this Mother's Day, but really every day, we are called to speak out for peace and not war, for justice, not oppression, for grace, not legalism, for love instead of hate. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And it all begins by following rule number two. Do good. Amen. Amen. Following the postlude, you are invited for a time of communion with Pastor Bridie if you would like to receive. You don't have to be a member of this church or of any church. You simply have to have the desire to receive. Please come down and sit in these first two rows, and you can have a time with communion and also kneel for prayer if you like. You may also come up and after the postlude and look at the pictures on the altar and just celebrate all the moms in our lives. But please, even if you already ate once, go back and eat a second meal, because we've got a lot of food and we want to serve you. The brunch is fantastic, and we had a lot of hands helping make it, all under Dan Cox's wonderful, wonderful tutelage. So I hope you will come back to the gym and have some time and fellowship. Go forth now, not just doing no harm, but also doing good. Go forth in peace to love and serve the world. Amen.